Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, everyone. This is the Luke and Pete Show on Thursday, the 4th of April. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Mr. Lukey Moo. Lukey Moo, how the devil are you?
What's going on? How you doing? I'm all right.
Oh,
what's new?
I'm good. I'm still absolutely chomping through a load of Easter eggs. We never have Easter eggs in the house over Easter, and for some reason, we've gained access to about 3 or 4 Easter eggs. So I'm absolutely hard to the tease on chocolate Easter eggs.
Has anyone been sick in the house yet, including one of the dogs?
No, very little. I'm not starting with talking about poo stuff, but I did have to pull a poo out of Lola's bum about 5 minutes ago. But don't worry, I've washed my hands.
Yeah, you should. Did you wear gloves?
No, I was just wearing a bin bag, a little doggy poo bag. Wearing a bin bag. Oh dear!
Some kind of performance art, was it?
Yeah, it's been a busy old few days. Popped up to Sarah's parents, or rather brother, which is very much not a parent.
No, it's different. No, different family role,
different,
isn't it?
Family role, isn't it? Different family role they do. We had like a sort of Easter sort of celebration, Easter egg hunt and stuff like that, and watched a bit of the football. Frank Champion, good to see him, but he was a bit put out by the fact that Newcastle had absolutely done over West Ham at the weekend. So yeah.
Did you find any Easter eggs, Peter? Did everyone encourage you?
Well, they've got a big old garden, so I found one on a swing.
In my mind, you have taken it really seriously, and night has fallen, the darkness has drawn in, and you are still on your hands and knees going around the garden like a truffle pig, snuffling everything out.
With the night vision goggles, like Splinter Cell or something like that.
With the hobgoblin.
And I've made my own camo that just fits with the garden in which I'm in. Luke, have you seen the Marriott carpet, Cult of the Marriott carpet at Dragon Con?
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's a big part of the whole thing. They did change it recently, though.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, it's an astonishing Weatherspoons-esque carpet. So, if you're unfamiliar, the people who go to Dragon Con are obsessed with a particular carpet that was in the Marriott where Dragon Con takes place. Some people dressed up as the carpet, like made sort of camouflage versions of like militia garb with the Marriott carpet kind of design on it. And then the Marriott threatened to take them to court because they'd made the design publicly available online, basically, for you to kind of modify and use yourself. And so, rather amusingly, that just enhanced Streisand effect style, just enhanced the legacy or the hubbub around the Marriott carpet. And so, people would sort of start, the cult of the Marriott carpet. And every time people went to Dragon Con, these kind of, people would go en masse wearing Marriott carpet designs and flags and stuff like that. It's a lovely bit of work, and it all happened because the Marriott got upset that someone was putting their designs on the carpet online.
When I was there, there were two guys dressed like it, and they were lying on the carpet.
Yeah, sort of.
With you know, with all the kind of outfit on, exactly the same design.
My mate Ed sent me a little piece about a man who he's a bit of a meme in the gun world, a meme in the militia world.
Is there a militia world?
I don't know.
Is that a world you want to be in?
It's just like a right-wing news channel, I suppose, isn't it? But like they basically, there's a guy who rubbed gun grease on his cheeks for some reason, and he became a bit of a meme. And so they've designed, I think, the camouflage that incorporates this man going, ooh, rubbing gun grease on his face. I love that the gun people can meme too.
They can. Mm. Going back to the Hobgoblin thing, Peter, a little update on that. Yeah. For those who don't quite remember, Pete was fired from a radio station for having the Hobgoblin on.
Hobbling on.
Show for an hour and a half, talking about his divorce. And our listener and friend, Sean, tweeted us off the back of that episode saying, my old engineering teacher left to do acting and had a big stint as the Hobgoblin. He did a wedding for Kerrang and everything. Was he a small Welsh guy called Rob? To which you replied saying he wasn't gigantic, so very well could have been. It was around 2007. Mm. And Sean said, yeah, it could have been about then.
Wow.
So basically, we've outed the Hobgoblin
as
our listener
teacher
and friend Sean's ex-engineering teacher, which does track, because it's the kind of thing you would be teaching if you were a Hobgoblin.
I think so. And as the old saw says, as the old saying goes, if you can't do it, teach. And if you can't teach, Hobgoblin.
if you can't teach, go and target some lager drinkers and take the piss out of
exactly
them.
Exactly. Scared you'd taste something. That's quite exciting that we've figured out who the
I'd love to get him on the show for another hour and a half. And then I'll fire you from this show.
Yeah. Good off.
Very good.
It'd be the Luke and Hobgoblin show.
I'll tell you what, like, if Hobgoblin, the decision makers who do advertise Hobgoblin are listening, the Euros is coming up. That's all I'm saying. Do you want to get people to drink Hobgoblin beer throughout the Euros?
Do you want a pint of Hobgoblin to be thrown at a screen in Germany? do you want that? Do you want the Football Rama broadcasting live from Berlin in the Hobgoblin cave? you know, we're talking about live actuations, guys. Put your money where your mouth is. Put your hob where your goblin is. Let's do this. Let's talk.
So the Hobgoblin apparently is a household spirit appearing in English folklore. So he would live in your house.
Right.
He wouldn't be. He wouldn't be particularly like cave dwelling. I wouldn't.
The Berlin
thought.
Marriott. Could the Hobgoblin get involved in the whole Marriott carpet thing?
Would you like to stay in the Ramada Inn in Croydon for the entirety of the Euros and pop in every so often to try and sell some of your beer? I don't know if I've ever had a bottle of Hobgoblin.
No, I don't think I have either, to be honest. It's one of those things that I sort of go, you know what? It's like the Iron Maiden brew. I sort of go, it's not for me.
I just know
it's not for me. The Trooper. Is it a lager? That feels like a lager.
No, it's an ale, man.
Is it an ale? Right.
They do a lager as well, I think.
Right. But I just get the sense that...
yeah, because like the other day, our mate John was saying to me, oh, I was drinking the Trooper lager, and it's actually really good.
Right.
And I was like, it's very difficult for me to imagine myself in a situation where I'm going to utter the words, yeah, I'll try a pint of the Trooper lager. It's not going to happen. And I love Iron Maiden. I've got no beef with them. I think their Trooper beer is actually very successful, obviously because it's curated and developed by Bruce Dickinson, who is one of the world's most celebrated polymaths. So it's not surprising he could do that as well. Mm. But I'm not sure there's any lager needed as well.
It was always for sale on the roof of the Sanctum Hotel in Mayfair, and it was basically this guy set up a hotel and he wanted to make it like a rock and roll hotel, and those kind of ones are always a bit tragic, and they're always like you know, guitars on the walls, and he made a big thing of sort of going, there's 10, he was like proper like a Vic Reeves character, there's 10,000 different channels of pornography on the television, and in every hotel room there's a box of fun items for you and your good lady partner to get involved in. It's just like sex toys and stuff.
What is happening in
the
here?
It was a rock and roll hotel. Don't throw the telly out the window. God.
Hobgoblin in every character. Room.
Hobgoblin in every room.
And he just goes, when you walk in, he just goes, Privy Master, are there any chores to do for you and your lady
wench.
The
goblin doesn't do chores. The goblin just hangs. I don't know what a goblin's job is, to be honest. He's
not a goblin, first of all. He's a hobgoblin, which is different.
Oh, God.
And could he be a bit like the Grinch that those families sometimes... some of those families get the Grinch in to mess up their house before Christmas.
He just comes in and does absolutely disgusting farts and then leaves.
You could get him to come in, say some quite kind of fruity Brexit laced opinions,
and then leave,
a really smelly beer fart, and then put on Dire Straits on the stereo, then leave.
Put Men and Motors on. Leave. put on a military World War II documentary and then leave.
Yeah. Leave a glamour Hob. Model calendar in the kitchen.
Hobgoblin.
And leave. Yeah, that'd be sensational. I actually stayed in a rock and roll hotel in Amsterdam once.
Aye.
And the reason it was because it was just like convenient and fairly easily priced and it was fine, but it was a bit like. Like, for example, every room had like a Fender amp in it.
Yeah,
and it's like, what?
And they're always like,
what's the point of that?
You don't want me plugging in and switching on. You just don't. And it'll be broken and it won't work. And
dusty.
Yeah, dusty. It'll just be a cheap bit of Argos 79 quid jobbery.
And it basically had like a Perspect case with a guitar in it behind the bar and like a David Bowie lyric on the wall.
A bit of a costume.
The pool balls had like treble clefs on them instead of like numbers or whatever. And that was it.
It's so easy to get that stuff right, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in the same breath, get it wrong. Have you ever stayed in the Hotel Pelle Rocco in Brighton?
No. It rings a bell, though.
They have sort of like different theme rooms and stuff. I stayed in the Dollywood one once. It's quite good.
Oh, Dollywood. Dollywood seems like it would be fun.
Isn't Beyonce releasing like a country album this week? She's covering Jolene, isn't she?
Yeah.
I heard a bit of it on Six Music on fucking Marion Hobsman, and they're introduced to that and it's just sad about the world. And
you bring in radio stations and then I slag them all off and you have a go at me for slagging them off, even though you brought them in the first place. You know what you're doing.
All right, does she do like a kind of a retort? Like she's changed the lyrics to the thing. I only heard it once, and I was like, I'm fairly certain they're not the original lyrics. To be honest, I think it might be one of those skewering the originals. There's a strong
woman who doesn't give a shit
about Jolene.
I've not heard any of it, to be honest, but I imagine it's annoying all the right people. So that's fine by me. Right. Speaking of Brighton hotels, this is a hell of a segue, quite Partridge actually, but I'm going to press on with it.
Mm.
I've actually just finished a book called Killing Thatcher about the Brighton bomb in the hotel during the Conservative Party conference in 1984. Absolutely incredible story. It's by an author called Rory Carroll. I don't know if he's written anything else, but it's a really brilliantly told historical narrative. It's got the pace of a thriller, really. Mm. And the countdown to the bomb going off is incredible. It's really, really tense and really, really readable. But just quite an interesting story anyway. But also, look, if you think about it, we're like 40 years hence.
Yeah.
It's crazy that stuff happened. Like, it's crazy that stuff happened.
It's crazy that it would be a constant... And we lived
through that.
It's
basically a civil war in Britain that people didn't really acknowledge.
Yeah.
Well, they did acknowledge it, but they don't acknowledge it as such now, right? It's more a bit like it's terrorist activity, all that kind of stuff. But really, stuff that's happened in Northern Ireland, then when they kind of progressed it into, like, stuff happening in England and in London and all the rest of it, the stuff that went on is, I mean, for some of our younger listeners, absolutely horrific. I mean, I think I'm right in saying that the bomb... in the Grand Hotel in the Brighton Grand, whatever it's called, only didn't kill Thatcher because she was in a slightly different room to what the bomber was expecting, and she was in the bedroom rather than the bathroom or something.
Right.
And the chimney that came down tipped in a certain way. There's like about three or four different sets of circumstances which meant that she wasn't killed.
Yeah.
And she's the serving Prime Minister, right? It's and the way that it was done was the timer for the bomb was set like to the minute, months in advance.
Right, okay.
It was behind the panel in a bath for a very, very long time, designed to time and go off at the time of the conference. So people were staying in that room without even knowing there was a
live bomb in there. Did how did they get it in? Was it kind of like, did they dress up as like
He built it in the room.
Hmm.
So he got all the parts.
Oh, so he stayed in the room.
Yeah, he stayed in the room for like 3 nights.
Right, okay, I see. Yeah.
And then the manhunt to find him was essentially like a proper, like, impressive piece of like police work, because there was no CCTV of him.
Mm.
He did it under an assumed name and left no fingerprints.
Mm.
Obviously, it was so long before when he planted it that no one really remembered him going in. It was a truly like horrific period of history, like really, really like violent, awful stuff.
But I think the stuff that happened in sort of London, Manchester, and Birmingham, like we all, I think a lot of people have sort of this weird kind of like rose tinted kind of like, oh well, you know, they used to ring ahead, didn't they? You know what I mean? All that shit. Like they have this kind of idea that they weren't quite as dangerous as.
But not,
you know,
always, because sometimes the warnings wouldn't get through quick enough, or they'd be really veiled, or would be you know, quite cryptic.
Mm.
In a morbid way, with the greatest respect to the victims, of course, it's a fascinating period of history. And obviously we take for granted now that since the kind of late 90s with the peace process and everything, we don't have to really have that kind of stuff going on in as much. But the scenario is just crazy. Like on the news, like Norman Tebbit, who I think was some kind of cabinet minister at the time, might have even been the employment minister, so quite a prominent politician.
Mm.
Like him and his wife were pulled out of the rubble on the news.
Yeah.
And his wife was paralysed.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very like frightening, horrific set of circumstances. I mean, fascinating. It's a really good book anyway. It's called, I think it might have even had its name changed now, but the version I've got is called Killing Thatcher by Rory Carroll.
Right.
Worth reading. Another entry into my kind of impromptu and fairly unorganised
book club
that
Cookie's book club.
I basically fart out to our listeners occasionally. But you'd enjoy it, Pete. It's got the pace of a thriller.
Oh, it's got, well, I love a bit of Le Carre style.
Yeah, a bit
espionage
of that.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, there's no Japanese stuff in it though. Sadly.
No, that's a shame. That is a
sorry
shame.
To, no big, no sorry big sods. To break that to you.
Absolutely.
Have you fully recovered from your Bulgaria trip now?
Yeah, I think so. I think my body's on a general kind of just turning to dust eventually. Are you finding it after you've got over the year of 40, everything that you'd sort of brush off has not been very painful at all, just seems to just hurt more. My pain threshold has gone down massively. I've got like a cut on my finger that every time I touch it, it's absolute agony. I've got this and that going wrong. Like, everything just seems to hurt more. It's not that it's going wrong more. It's just that I'm noticing the bad stuff more. Everything just seems sore and painful.
Have you got... are you a healthy person generally?
No, I don't think so. Well, not generally. I get out and about. I get me dog walks. I have big breakfasts. I eat half an Easter egg every day.
all the main, you know, food groups.
All the main
What's
food
a big
groups.
Breakfast look like for you these days, though? Because people listening will be used to you having the old... leftover Chinese, but those days are gone now.
I actually modified a sort of bean soup. I modified a cow to get in my mouth, to fit in my mouth. I modified a bean stew from HelloFresh into like a breakfast egg monstrosity. Didn't do too badly, to be honest. It went quite well.
One thing I have noticed is that back in the day, I used to be very cavalier with the use-by date on fruits, particularly blueberries.
Okay, yeah.
I would just pick the fur off, wash the other ones and eat them. And I used to sometimes get a little stomach kind of complaint.
Right.
But it was fine. I can't do that now.
No.
Because obviously we've got a baby in the house now, so we have to be very careful on use-by dates and stuff anyway. But I can't be as cavalier as I used to be. I think I might have changed the bacteria in my gut by doing that.
So
I have to be careful on that front. But actually, to answer your question, initially, yes. But in the last... 3 or 4 months, I've been a lot healthier. I've lost like 35 pounds.
Oh, yeah, you're on a bit of a health kick.
And that's,
right?
That's made a real difference. I used to have really bad pains in my joints, which I don't have anymore. I spring out of bed a lot more easily now. I don't need as much sleep. I'm cycling every time I come.
Good, because there's none on offer for a new dad. There's on offer.
The lad's got a bit of a cold at the moment, so that's a bit different. But generally speaking, he's actually pretty good. Like he'll need maybe one intervention overnight. And that's it now.
Okay.
We're getting through it. And if I, because I'm obviously working the Wi-Fi I have access to takes care of the lion's share of that, and I take him in the morning, so it's kind of a bit of a mix. So it's not been too bad on that front, but I think for the first 6 or 7 months, it was very, very difficult. It sounds like I'm making an excuse. It's very difficult to stay healthy because, of course, if you're not getting the sleep, your body's not getting the energy it needs. It craves like high sugar, high fat, high calorie stuff because it needs to find the energy from somewhere. And I am very, very happy to acquiesce to those requests.
I've got a lot of pork pies in the house, I find. There just seems to be a constant. I don't know. I think I'm sleepwalking through the supermarket, and I'm.
It's the hobgoblin. Hobgoblin.
It's the hobgoblin.
He sprinkles them everywhere.
The naughty hobgoblins popping bar snacks everywhere, and
you basically go to turn your TV over, and all the buttons on your remote are replaced by little pork pies,
little mini pork pies, and jelly, a jelly up the wazoo.
I don't like the jelly bit.
Why do people find the jelly so? Why do people find the
I
jelly?
I think, do you know why it is? Do you remember we went to Kiev? Way back in the day before
that's just butter squirting out of that. That's not jelly.
No. I don't mean a chick in Kiev. I mean the city of Kiev. And you were well into all the local food there. And I just found a lot of it, the meat with the jelly stuff. It reminded me of the food I used to have to feed our cats back in the day.
Yeah, really quite anemic pink jelly covered.
Smells as well.
I think having dogs
savoury jelly's not for me, basically.
I think... it is nice. What about like pâté? The jelly you sometimes get at Christmas on the pâté, which I think might be fruit jelly anyway, not really natural, but
any kind of fruit jelly I like. I like a pâté on a piece of bread. I like a terrine. You know, it's more kind of slightly more middle class cousin, isn't it? Terrine.
Terrine.
The terrine has got more about it.
It's meat jam, isn't it? Meat jam.
Although I did have, I don't know if I told you this, I once had the worst meal I've ever had, and it involved a terrine. And it not only had some leftover cling film in it, but it was also wrapped in raw bacon.
Right, okay. So how does that work then?
Well, you tell me.
Was it smoked to
anything? I didn't eat it.
To within an inch of its life, presumably it was already cooked, the bacon. No. Well, how can you eat it then?
Fucking eat it, and I didn't eat it, and I sent it back.
Did they not just smoke the bacon so hard that it killed all of the disease?
I imagine that's what they thought they were doing. But that's it before we get to the cling film that was basically inexplicably inside it.
Oh, God, they mentioned... Yeah, I mean, the cling film's a bad move, some would suggest. Someone on a podcast was mentioning their dislike of jelly in meats. And it was the same... Basically, I, on the Ramble a little while ago, I think you were on the show, I think it was on Friday, I said that Dean Gaffney looked like... David Gandy, the model, looks like Dean Gaffney.
On the same spectrum as David.
On the same spectrum, yeah. Gaffney-esque, very Gaffney-ish. And I was really annoyed that one of my favourite sort of Five Live podcasts, they said the exact same thing about a week ago.
It can happen.
It can happen, and it was that sort of parallel thinking, but I was just a bit like, that's annoying, that, because people are going to think that I've stolen that. I steal so much other stuff from that podcast as well. But this
what
is the
boy.
Is
it, so we
this
know.
Is the this is the boy who cried wolf. Ellison John, Five Live. But
listen to that. Fucking
what do you
hell.
Mean? Fucking hell.
By the way, Peter, sorry to cut in, but did you see it was actually this weekend just gone on the show that Tim Lovejoy does that he still can't read the autocue properly on. What's it called?
Saturday Sunday Lunch Kitchen.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He accused John Robbins of being a bit slow on the uptake on that show, because I think it's live.
Right.
And accused him of having a hangover.
Right.
And to say, recovering alcoholic of many years standing.
Yes.
It was really, really.
Yes, I love it. I mean, to be fair, he was a bit of a sesh-lod before then. So,
Yeah, but I think that was like literally years ago.
About a year ago, I think, if I track my podcast. I listen to that podcast quite regularly, and it was about a year ago that he gave up. But that is funny. Especially because his show at the moment, his live show, is all about being, you know, giving up.
Oh, you're right. I just looked it up. He said he's been sober since November 2022. All I'm saying is, for those of listening who don't know anything about TV, and good for you, I mean, fucking great, Lovejoy's going to have been given a briefing note on that.
Yeah.
And he's not going to have read it, and he's going to have been arrogant about it, and he's going to have just ploughed in and embarrassed himself on live telly. And I think that's something we can all get behind.
It's very much me asking Boy George if he's going for the lamb or the chicken, only to be told that he's very much a vegetarian, has been for a long time.
Is that why he changed you to that radiator?
Is that why he changed the radiator? Yes, until I said sorry, yeah.
He did do that, didn't he?
Not to me, but yeah,
he did do that.
He did chain a sex worker to a radiator. Which, I mean, unless you've agreed that that's your thing, that that's what you're into. I can't remember the story. I only remember the whenever like whenever a gay sex story comes out in the tabloids, it's always treated incredibly disrespectfully on every side. You know, no one's coming out of that without catching a few strays. And it's atrocious the way that they deal with stuff like that. But I think the upshot was, yes, he chained a man to a radiator for.
Apparently it was just a. A guy.
It was just a bit of knockabout fun, you said.
A Norwegian model and male escort who believed he was attending a photography session.
I mean that. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. It's.
He got 15 months in. It's 15 months bird for that.
Well, look who's the caged bird now. Look who's the change to the radiator.
Ironic sentence.
Yeah. Exactly.
I take your point completely about the way those kind of things are treated in the gay community and all the rest of it. My concern then and my concern now, the initial thought I had was, he's famously a vegetarian. I just thought, it's not a very vegetarian thing to do.
Well, true, exactly.
Because vegetarian because you're protesting the kind of treatment of animals. And their kind of incarceration to some extent.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You've basically made a battery hen sex worker there, haven't you? I suppose. Yeah. Awful. Awful, man. But
he's not got... I will partake in his eggs, but has he got room to walk about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's have a break, Peter, on that delicate note, because when we come back, I want to talk to you about a podcast that I've been listening to, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show, and Luke is about to tell us for 5 minutes and 12 seconds.
No, I'm not, because we're going to do batteries first, Pete. As you know.
Ah, nuts, batteries.
For fuck's sake,
do
Peter.
Batteries. Oh, my goodness. We're sticking in a couple here, because that's what we got time for. Luke says, hello, chaps, long-time listeners since the summer special days. Not sure if you've had this already. Ale Hop. This was pre-installed in a handheld fan bought from Ale Hop at Faro Airport. Now... Wow, it's I mean, it's a battery that has got a cow on it. Rather unhelpfully, it's got an image of an empty battery on the side of the battery.
Yeah, that is a strange branding choice for them.
Yeah, very bizarre. And it says Ale Hop, which I presume is some kind of like boozy supermarket, maybe.
Yeah. So the logo on the side of it signifying an empty battery is that perhaps telling us that it's rechargeable,
or how to dispose of it, possibly.
Ale it's Hop. A strange branding move.
Yeah.
If you look at the cell batteries.
It's not for booze. It's a it's like basically like a Tiger, if you're familiar with those in England.
Right, okay.
A Tiger of Copenhagen. It's that kind of shop, I think. Yeah.
Sells so little bric-a-brac things. Some of them are quite good, but they're
a 30-euro smartwatch that no one's ever going to want.
Yeah.
A massage gun.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Euros. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm delighted to tell Luke, my namesake, that it is a brand new player.
Well done, mate. I mean, that's cracking. Great way to start.
I think it's surprising given that, I mean, Faro's a pretty big tourist airport. A lot of British people go on holiday to Portugal. I'm surprised.
What's wrong with
a Duracell
then? What's wrong with a good old Duracell?
True. It's true, actually. A beautiful British battery, like a Duracell, which is famously not British, isn't it?
That's probably not. Maybe it started there. American? No. Hello,
maybe
the Luke
and
the Pete.
They're American. Sorry, they are American.
Andre says, Chinese batteries sometimes don't last long, and as another one bites the dust, I present to you Bursto. My cat was very curious about it, and since the first battery I'd submitted years ago was because of her, she deserves to be in the picture. I hope this one goes into the battery daddy. Now, it's a lovely cat. I don't know what kind of cat you call that or colouring. Is that? It's like a white and black
tortoise
and yellow.
Tortoise shell, I'd say.
Tortoise shell. Right, a tortoise shell cat. Sans shell. Andre has come up with Bursto. I think we might have had this before, though, Lucky Moore.
Yeah, it's a beautiful cat.
Beautiful cat. Do not put the battery in the cat.
I think I'm right in saying, I'm just going to double check, that a massive percentage of tortoise shell cats... are female. Yeah, look, I've got it confirmed here. So
right.
Guess how many tortoiseshell cats are female?
Oh, 60%.
One in 3,000 a male. So basically 2,999 tortoiseshell cats are female.
That's below 99 then.
You've got a 1 in 3,000 chance of getting a tortoiseshell cat's male because the chromosomes needed to produce that colour scheme
are... So rare.
Yeah, basically the two X chromosomes that you need for a female.
I see.
It's a beautiful cat. Nice to see. I love both cats and dogs, but I think when you get a beautiful cat, it's a really nice thing to see. If I'm walking on the street and I see a really nice cat, I think that's a lovely thing to see.
And also, easily grabbable because they're never on leads.
They give you a swipe, though. They don't like
it. They give you a little swipe. Lure them in with a bit of your jelly.
You've got to respect the idea that when you go in, not for me now, because we've been to the vet so often with our cats that they kind of know they're very docile and friendly, which they are, which is great. But when I first used to take them in, the amount of protective gear the vet's putting on, it's amazing. You just don't see that with a dog.
Yeah. Well, a lot of dog trainers, like if you go to a dog trainers, the first thing they'll do is help you to put like a muzzle on them, just simply because when they go to the vets, I think... A lot of the time, they put muzzles on them. I think ours are fine, to be honest. They don't really... Border terriers, they're quite hardy. Like they never complain, really, which is why at one time I was recording this very Luke and Pete show and Sammy appeared at the window and he was like sort of like scratching at the window going... Arr! And it turned out he'd just absolutely run into something and he'd busted his eye. And I was
he didn't even know.
And he didn't even know. But poor thing. I hate thinking of animals in pain.
Apart from the ones I eat. I just think that, you know, in certain circumstances, shoving your finger or a thermometer up a cat's ass is one of the most dangerous things you can do.
One of the great pleasures in life.
A big cat, strong big cat, if it got the timing right, it could rip your throat out with a swipe. Anyway.
Don't put your fingers up cat's bum. Well, look.
Beautiful cat, Andre. I'd love to know what your cat's name is, but for the meantime, Bursto are not a new player anyway, but thank you for sending them in.
Never mind.
Peter, before we go, I just wanted to say that I mentioned before the break that there's a podcast series I was listening to.
Right.
You might have heard of it. It's called Unreliable Witness. Have you heard of it?
Oh, no, I've not heard of this at all.
So, weirdly, I don't know why, but I knew nothing about this story when it happened, which is basically around the start of COVID.
Right.
And you know that it's a kind of far right trope, really, but certain parts of it do go on, and there's been some really, really awful kind of experiences and situations where young girls have been groomed by gangs of men for like sex trafficking, stuff like that, right? And it famously, there's talk of it happening in Rotherham and Rochdale, kind of all these kind of mostly northern towns that have been left behind by society, sadly, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, in 2020, a girl in Barrow in Cumbria, so just on the south tip of the Lake District, posted a Facebook post saying that she had been a victim of this.
Yeah.
And there was a massive outrage. I mean, there was a huge campaign. All these protests happened during COVID. I mean, it's like about, I think it was about May 2020. There was a crowdfunder set up for her because she got a lot of injuries and loads of stuff happened. And, you know, it's, you know, part of a wider milieu because people were frightened about COVID and couldn't leave their house and all the rest of it. And then obviously, you know, all the usual grifters like Tommy Robertson turned up and complained about it because she accused a bunch of Asian men business owners of doing it. The podcast starts with that Facebook post that she posted accusing all this stuff of happening and talking about the situation. And then it unravels and goes so twisty and turny that it honestly does keep you on the edge of your seat. It's six episodes. I'm not going to say any more than that because I don't really want to give it away to people. And some people listening may remember the news story. I didn't actually remember the news story, I guess, because, you know, there was loads of going on at COVID and I just didn't see it. But it's called Unreliable Witness, produced by Sky News. It's produced in quite a weird way. It's produced by, you know, like when you watch the news and they cut to a special report. And it's like a guy who'll do a piece to camera with a load of vox pops and interviews for like 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of done like that. So it sounds quite different. But it's a fascinating story, honestly, a really interesting story about that type of stuff, the kind of culture that kind of pervades it, all that kind of thing. It's well worth listening to. I really liked it. Six episodes of about half an hour. A really interesting story, really well told. And it goes in a couple of different directions that you don't expect. Well worth a listen. So I thought I'd mention that to our listeners in case they're looking for something non-stack to listen to, which they bloody shouldn't be.
No.
But if they are.
Got enough over here, to be quite frank.
Give that a go.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. Check that out if you can. And check us out on the old socials, if you fancy it. We're on the old TikTok, The Luke and Pete Show. We're on Insta, at Luke and Pete Show. And we're on Twitter as well. But in the meantime, if you found a battery in a bit of your stuff, what you own, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the way to get involved there. We'll be back on Monday the 8th of April. And Lukey Moore will be back with me doing everything we like to do here on The
Luke and Pete Show. Saying that is like there's going to be something happening.
No, yeah, it'll be a big announcement. Big announcement.
Yeah. See you on Monday.
All right, guys. Bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.